You mentioned the issue of including the bevacizumab in the neoadjuvant therapy. I wonder, particularly in patients with ascites, whether it makes a difference.
Well, you know, it is supposed to be the case that if you use bevacizumab, that it will help to control ascites, and we've seen that certainly, you know, working well in patients with recurrent disease. But actually, you know, when you're dealing with a chemo-naive patient, the chemotherapy, if it's really going to work to the point where the patient gets a surgery at cycle three, I think you'll see the ascites dry up very quickly. And I think if it doesn't, with or without bevacizumab, the patient is going to have a much harder time with surgery and is likely to do less well. In fact, it's one of the indicators that we would use after cycle three when we reevaluate the patient for surgery after neoadjuvant chemotherapy is whether or not they have persistent ascites. And until recently, certainly, if patients had significant ascites at the time of reevaluation, we would probably not go ahead with surgery. We are sort of moving a little bit away from that point because the data from the ICON-8 surgical component of the trial, this is without bevacizumab, were presented at ESMO last year and showed that those patients who did not have a particularly good response but went ahead with surgery after cycle three actually had a pretty reasonable progression-free survival. So I think the message coming from the trial at least was that we shouldn't be too restrictive in deciding who should and shouldn't have surgery purely on the basis of whether there's ascites. It's whether you can operate to zero residuum that's the critical thing.